AAE Mobile. 4 AAE, K4 HNR, this is Connor. You'll have to remind me your name.
K4 HNR, this is KR4 AAE.
My name is Steven on this end.
Connor, I believe you're net controller on the net one night, correct?
Yeah, I do Saturday nights. I do every Saturday night except for the first Saturday night of the month. That's a different net controller, but yes, sir, that's correct. Yeah, I thought I'd recognize your voice in your call and have a hard time pairing the names with the calls a lot of the time, but you said it was Steven, is that right?
The majority of all of us on the radios and on the frequencies, we sometimes hard to pair the names and the calls and the voices, but it's getting better little by little for me as well. In that case, everything's on your end on this wonderful cold and rainy day.
Going well. I'm mobile too. I actually just got to where I'm going. I'm about to head into this building here. I'm out here somewhere in Clemson. They're building a new building out here. I work for a commercial roofing company, so we're putting the roof on it. So we're gonna have a big get-together meeting and talk about the schedule and everything for next year, and yeah, I'm glad it's inside and not outside up on a roof somewhere today.
I definitely know that feeling. I did roofing as a summer job for probably 2 summers, and there's one group of people I highly respect that is a roofer in the middle of the summertime in the South.
Right. Yeah, I think I got lucky here. I've got mostly just the office side of things. I try to get out of the office. I'm a project manager, so I try to get out and visit my job sites a lot. We've got superintendents out there that do a good job, so I don't have to leave the office too much. But yeah, you're right. I don't know what's worse, roofing in the winter or in the summer, but it seems pretty split for what everyone prefers. But I think the fall and the spring are the best times, but yeah, especially here in the South.
I agree with the fall and the spring, and having a good team around you that makes sure that you don't have to go leave the office too much. That's pretty good too. That's rare to find that you have that strong of a team.
Sir, what are you up to this chilly morning?
Between all my busy mornings and meetings, I've got a little bit of a break, and I got to get some yard debris out of the garage, or else I'll have a major fire hazard. So I said, yeah, let me just load up the car and take all that stuff down to the recycle center so I can get this yard debris out of there, because I definitely don't want a fire in my garage. Lord knows that Doc Brown from Back to the Future is living in my garage, always tinkering and messing with things in there, so there's no telling what spark will fly out next.
I hear you. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, it's funny how it can just, you can blink and things can just multiply, and then all your space is gone. And yeah, I'm the same way. I'll procrastinate my run to the dump or the recycle center to clear things out, but it always feels so good right after you do it. You always think, why did I wait so long and let it get to this point?
That's what I'm saying to myself too. And then the XYL says, man, this garage looks nice. Hey, can we put something else in here? I'm like, no, not right now. I just got it nice and cleaned, and I have a space for one more toy.
That's what garages are for. For all my fun hobbies and fun toys and everything. That's funny. Well, Steven, good chatting with you this morning. I just wanted to say, hey, I'm going to head in here and figure out which room we're going to and try to talk about the schedule for the next year and stuff. But it was good, good talking to you this morning. Hope you have a good rest of your day.
You enjoy the meeting, and I hope everything goes well, and maybe I'll catch you on the commute back. This is KR4AAE. I'll be clear on your final step three.
Hey, Steven, yeah, we may catch you later. KR4AAE, this is K4HNR. And 4, is that LK?
No shadow, you just make for a meter, if that was you. We'll talk to you later. Be careful, and good morning, Steven. Or is that LK?
Is that LK? This is KR4AAE. Good morning, Shane. Have a haven't talked to you in a while. How are things with you?
Pretty good with me. I'm running out and running some errands. Beth's not feeling too well. She's had a fever for a couple days. I think she's got a pretty good case of the flu. Running out, picking up a few more things, and I don't know. Been locked in the house for a couple days with a sick patient. Gonna get some fresh air and the things we need. And by the way, Connor's my son-in-law, so just in case you didn't know that, he's a pretty good guy.
Did not know that Connor was his son-in-law. Sounds like a good guy. He's got a good net controller voice and probably on anything on the airwaves. But yeah, man, flu season. I gotta make sure I keep the tiny human free from the flu this year, because last year was not fun when she got it. It was fun for me because I got all the snuggles and the cuddles. That was like fantastic. But keeping her out of school for 3-4 days, that was not fun on me and the XYL. How's the house coming along?
Yeah, I know about the kids. It seems like young kids are just constantly passing things around and getting over one thing, going back to school and bringing home something else. And then you end up, a lot of times, parents get sick too. But the house is good. Finished with the flooring and painting projects in the back two bedrooms and hallway. Got my radios all set back up. Got a couple more little very needful things, just in case Beth got the scanner or the radio on and listening to me. I had to get a couple of new things that are not toys or anything to add to my radios. They're necessities. Looking forward to those things coming in that I have to put on and then try them out. Just a couple little things. And since there were good prices, you know, for the holidays, I had to take advantage of it.
Copy that. I saw a lot of good deals on radios, gear, antennas, just all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I really want it, but I'm running out of room in my pocket for all the hobbies and all the tinkering and all the toys I have there. So I need to figure out a way to be a little more strategic with the purchasing, planning, and storage of all the toys.
For Christmas gifts, and sometimes she would say, "Is that what you want? I want to, you know, now you know what you're getting." I'm like, "I don't care. It's what I wanted." She's like, "But I want to surprise you." I'm like, "That's fine. But also, this is what I want. So you can take your choice. Surprise me or give me what I want."
I can just tell my wife, "Hey, just pick something out. I'll buy it. I'll wrap it up. And you can act surprised when you open it on Christmas Day." And that works for us, but it may not work for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's gotten a lot easier. Able to not have to think about it as much anymore. If I want to get something or if she wants something, it's a lot easier just to go buy it now. It used to be we'd have to save a lot more or plan ahead a lot more, but, you know, that's kind of where we are. Hopefully that won't change. But anyway, I was just listening to you and Connor talking, and a bunch of buzzards in the road on a roadkill, and they didn't want to move. Trying to keep up. I've got more projects I need to do. I need to build a deck or replace the deck that's there, and trying to think. There's a couple other things. We got some old pillars in the house. Not old, but they're the Roman, Greek, Greco-Roman style round pillars, and she doesn't like them. And I replaced the porch ones with cedar posts, and I'm trying to decide if I need it or not. That it's not supposed to be a load-bearing wall, but I've also found the plans, and I've looked at some of the way they built some of the stuff in this house, and they didn't follow the plans exactly. So I probably will need to go back with the pillars, so I'm going to put some square wooden posts inside and kind of make it similar to what's outside.
Be that. I definitely know about plans not being followed. I think one house that I lived in and we were doing some renovations to, we were going about it very carefully and strategically, and somebody goes, "Oh yeah, that's not a load-bearing wall," and I said, "I don't know." I was like, "I'll bet you $100 it is." And he goes, all right, I'm going to knock it down. I was like, I'm telling you, it's load-bearing wall. He goes, knock it down and hold it. And the roof comes, the ceiling comes crumbling down a little bit. And he says, well, good thing we had to remove that anyways, but I still owe you $100.
Not only is they didn't follow a lot of the, or made some changes to the plans that I found, they also didn't do the headers like I was taught to do back when I was framing, and just a little bit more difficult. Got a big, you know, it's a wall with a big cutout. It's not really a wall. It's a big opening, you know, with a couple of pillars on each side that go from the entryway of the house into the living room. And there's no header up above there because it's very hollow sounding. So in my opinion, that's not a load bearing. But also, it doesn't matter. If you've got an open space like that, you should have a header. So anyway, we'll see. And the windows don't have headers like we would build them either. So it's fun trying to install curtains and blinds and things. And sometimes you get a stud, sometimes you don't. Whereas before, it should have been a stud right there anyway. But it's not. I found that's not the case in every situation. And it's a well-built house. I mean, I don't have any issues with that. It's just done a lot different than how I was taught.
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you're going through. I think most of the things that I've built or installed in our current home now, until my wife, if an earthquake rolls around or for some reason the house comes crumbling, those walls are going to stay up. Everything else will crumble. And I tend to over-engineer many things, especially when it comes to housing, framing, and things like that, which is very helpful some days.
Okay, well, I just saw it's like a FedEx. I don't think it's UPS because it's in a rental. UPS does that too, but he had his flashers on and there were packages on the road, and he's pulling over. His back door was wide open, the rental door, and there was packages bounced all over the road.
And I don't think anybody's done that a couple times. I know I've done it when I was moving. I was like, ooh, good thing that box wasn't fragile. Well, Shane, I got to get running here. I just pulled up to the dump and I need to unload. Nice chat with you. Maybe I'll catch you a little bit later on today. And for ZLK, this is KR4AAE. I'll be clear on your final.
Nice to talk with you, and hope you have a good day, and Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you between now and then, I'm sure I will, but you have a good one. KR4AAE, N4ZLK.
N4ZLK, WW4GET, good morning. I have a question for you. Why is it that most videos or news stories of whether they're floods, disasters, accidents, whatever, you kind of always see a FedEx truck involved?
Good morning, Matthew. WW4JET, N4ZLK. Goodness, talking about accidents. I'm passing one right now. No FedEx involved in that one, though. That's a good question. I do know that the other company that colors their package cars brown, they spend a lot of money to keep those kind of things out of the news as much as possible. There may be a quick blurb when it happens, but then you don't see much about it. And I've heard that they will do that, try to keep the reputation a little better.
I know a certain airline that does that too. But now I laugh because, I mean, it seems like, you know, newsflash, major flood over here, such and such, and then you see a FedEx truck floating down the river. just kind of amusing.
You seen any of those videos of the pileups on the interstates? There seems to be a few FedEx vehicles involved. I will tell you this, all their ground shipments are contracted. Most of them are contracted drivers, even the tractor-trailer drivers. Doesn't necessarily mean they're bad drivers, but they would always pass me at a really good clip going down to Atlanta or Greensboro. And I mean, ours were governed at 68, and generally I was around 65 or so if speed limit allowed, which it was that way most of the trip. So there was no traffic, but I would always get left standing by those FedEx Ground drivers, and they would be drifting a lot in the lanes as they went by.
I have no doubts of that. I've seen that too, and even at the home delivery side, the contract drivers show their inexperience with either delays in package arrivals, or you see a lot of trucks with a lot of damage on them, that's for sure, as opposed to the competitor that you never see any damage on them. So it's a different world.
It just gets repaired pretty quick, taken care of. But you're right. They were a lot more strategic and a lot more, training was very intense. So, and they're really strict on your driving habits. So I think that helps too. But FedEx Express, which they're two separate companies owned by the same company, but they keep them separate. They're actually moving a lot of their express packages, moving it over to the ground drivers, and did away with a lot of the hourly employees in the express industry side of it.
Hey, there's a big drop off in reliability when you compare the two. There's no doubt. It's shown. I mean, deliveries. I mean, I just had a, I'll tell you this story. What was it? I don't think it really matters, but I was waiting for a certain package, and it was delivered, 400 miles on the other side of the state, and still can't figure out why, but of course, that was an expensive loss for that company because they had to resend it to me, but, hey, there's always some amusement value out of it all, I guess, too.
Right, and I won't say that my former employer is not, they are getting worse on the service, I will say that. Now, by the way, I don't know if you know or not, but I retired August 31st from there. But, and one of the reasons I was kind of glad to go was it's not the same as it used to be. And, of course, they're still better than everybody else, in my opinion. But that's all you have to be, right, is better. You don't have to be you don't have to be top-notch anymore. You just have to be better than everybody else. But in this whole process of them restructuring and getting rid of a lot of employees and or buying out a lot of employees, Amazon is at my house a whole lot more now. You've probably noticed that. I'll get two or three deliveries a day from different Amazon drivers this time of year. Or it's happened the last couple of weeks. We're already Beth's been ordering Christmas gifts and stuff. And I've been ordering a few things as I redid the remodeled in the back bedrooms, and might have thrown a few little radio remodels in there too, or additions. Also, not that this doesn't happen with UPS, but FedEx guy walks up to my porch yesterday, and I know the guy. He knows the guy that I work with, and we've talked. I know his name, and he just walked up, and I saw him out the window. He just tossed the package onto the porch from several steps away, and it was a $400 red light therapy device that my wife ordered. Unfortunately, it was packed very well because it would have damaged it otherwise. He just tossed it. I didn't say anything because I was going to see how the package was at first. It was perfectly fine, but that's just not how you do business.
You're absolutely right. It's, go the extra, and it's not even a mile. Go the extra few steps, and do it the right way. I'm with you. Same thing over by us, too, just a different driver every day. And, I never know. And the sad part is you can't, with the dog outside you a driver, if they sent the same driver, you would never have any undeliverable due to animal or whatever they say, or dog, you know, you'd never get that because, you know, hey, driver meet dog, dog meet driver, and you're good to go after that, you know, and they look forward to you coming. Not all, of course, but at least our dog does that.
The challenge, if I had dogs that were more aggressive, I would get them used to me, and it was a challenge to make friends with them. And we, boy, years ago, we delivered no matter what. Now, they'll say, if you don't like the look of the dog, don't even get out of the package car. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. The customer's paying to have most dogs are fine. You run into them, but you can always tell. As soon as you start talking to them, you can get a really good idea of what's going to happen. So, but yeah, you're right. And now I live down a gravel road, and I'm about 300 yards from my mailbox. And you can drive down the gravel road. It's perfectly fine. There's three houses down that gravel drive. And I'm finding Amazon packages just up at the mailbox, just there on the main road, sitting beside the mailbox now. And in addition to that, they mark it as Met Receptionist.
You're absolutely right. It's completely inaccurate. And, you know, we actually did get to put a bigger mailbox up, you know, bigger than average mailbox up to help with that, you know, so they wouldn't be out in the weather. But, there's an element of laziness and an element of I don't care, and the companies are okay with that. That's not good, but oh well.
Okay. Yeah, just one more thing, though. Mailboxes are federal property, and it is actually against the law for anybody to put anything in it other than a mail carrier. And it's against the law for you, technically, to, unless you've got, you know, exclusive permission unless you have permission to go into somebody else's mailbox and retrieve or put something in it. So, and a business is not supposed to use it.
You're absolutely right. We had a mail delivery individual, not here, but in Michigan, that was he was not just a carrier, he was a police officer / I don't know, dictator, tyrant, but he'd report you, and of course send messages in the mailbox, but if any of that occurred, which was kind of crazy, but I understand that, I get it. But I guess with Amazon delivering for a lot of, you know, packages, I guess via, I don't know, Amazon's using the U.S. Post Office, and I think Amazon thinks since they're doing that, the delivery drivers can throw it in the box, it seems. I don't know.
I understand. I'm not going to jump on anybody or turn anybody in for that. It's what it is. And I guess technically the mailbox is not federal property. It's the space inside it and the ability to access it. And they probably don't care anymore. It's not like, it's just like every other government organization. No one cares if the law is being broken.
That's the truth there. But, okay, I'm designated here, one of my three stops. So, good talking to you. And, yes, I did know you left, and congrats on that. I'm about a year and three out for me. But you take care, and happy belated Thanksgiving. I hope you had. I think we talked slightly before, and it was a great week, good week, and I hope it was for you guys as well. And we'll talk before the next holiday, I'm sure.
Oh, really good to hear you. I hate getting on stuff like that sometimes. Don't mean to rag on it. But anyway, you have a great day. I'm sure we will talk again. And I'm pulling into Lowe's here, so good timing. WW4JET and 4ZLK.
Cheney, very good. Enjoy it. And, no problem with that. I understand it. I started it with the competitors' videos. But anyway, we'll see you later. Tomorrow, Mobile.